It's the Lonely TARDIS Season 2, Episode 8. Join us on a journey through Time Lords and space. We are your favorite Doctor Who podcast. I'm Dolly Domofsky. As usual, joining me is one Sean Norton.
Hello.
And the other Stephen Strum.
Hey there.
And we are here to talk about the Bells of St. John. First and foremost, this is the first time all three of us have been together in about 6 months, I believe. Something like at least 3 months, right?
What? No, we were.
No, it's been like 3 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
All three of us were together for an episode a while back.
Episode before last, we were all three of us together.
Actually, we were all together last episode, apparently, as well.
In spirit.
In spirit and in impersonation.
I wrote some thoughts that Stephen did his absolute best to convey.
I tried hard.
No, he did. He showed a lot of heart. my mistake was emphasizing the fact that he should paraphrase them.
Yes.
Next time. Well, and then he did an impression of me, but it was really just him speaking randomly loudly and then Dolly, we've only been apart a few weeks, which feels like a long time. We don't get together enough. It's like we never talk anymore.
Right. But we're here. We're here now.
Happy to be here. Sorry I missed things last week when all the 50th anniversary stuff really started. I feel like that's when it really started to trickle out.
It went popping.
It was been poppin'. A pretty steady flow so far. So,
yeah, it's actually been pretty exciting, and we'll get to that today.
Yeah, more importantly, we are back in full Doctor Who mode.
Yes. Oh, it's so exciting. The latest episode, The Bells of St. John. Also, I think that it's the – is it the sixth episode of this season technically or the seventh?
Seventh episode of the seventh series of the British science fiction drama Doctor Who.
Is that including the snowman?
No, they never include the Christmas special.
Okay.
All right.
So why don't you give us a rundown of what we're going to talk about and then go right into the episode recap.
That sounds good. So our topics for today, our agenda, we're going to talk a little bit about the Bells of St. John. We're going to do a quick, in my case, we'll see if that actually happens, a quick recap. We're talking about our thoughts about kind of what took place, even some of the cool little Easter eggs that were in there, and there were a lot. I'm showing the guys on the camera right now. I took a ton of notes. You can hear the papers ruffling.
Oh, yeah, he has the doctor's journal right there.
I have the doctor's journal. Took a ton of notes about the episode, all the little Easter eggs and things that popped up. And then we're going to hop into the 50th anniversary episode news. And there was some news that broke this weekend that, without getting into it, may have turned things around for me for the episode. So,
but did they turn things around for Seanald?
We'll find out.
Long name...
Seanald,
as we all know, is the full name of Sean Norton.
Seanald
Norton.
Seanald Norton.
That's what happened when they crossed me with Donald the Duck. But that's fine. Donald the Duck.
Donald
T. Duck.
Not to be confused. Yeah. Anyway, this is off to a rousing start.
Yes. The Bells of St. John. Shall we just dive right into the return?
I wish it had been the cloister bells. That would have been great. Yes, let's dive into it.
I'll see if I can. So the Bells of St. John, here is an ultra quick recap. Doctor has, of course, been looking for Clara, as he calls her.
Clara?
He calls her Clara. It's Clara, but he calls her Clara.
Clara Croft.
Clara Croft. And he gets a phone call. He's in the 1600s, 1500s, wherever he is, 1700s. He gets a phone call from in the monastery that he's staying at from his TARDIS with... the little sign on the TARDIS was great. It said St. John Hospital.
St. John's Ambulance.
St. John's, yeah, exactly. So that's where the Bells of St. John's come from. Anyways, it's Claire on the other end. She needs tech support for Wi-Fi. He kind of guides her through a few things and then shows up at her place. In the meantime, Wi-Fi is actually being run by, as we come to find out later on, the Great Intelligence. And a corporation is harvesting souls, Ooh. Is harvesting souls through Wi-Fi and feeding them to the Great Intelligence through these Wi-Fi receivers that are called spoonheads, apparently. So, or servers, as they kind of called them in a couple times in the episode. Claire gets sucked into the Wi-Fi network, or wherever she is one of the harvest souls. Doctor rescues her. they go through the process of trying to figure out exactly what is going on, and eventually they do. The Doctor rides a badass motorcycle up the side of a building, or we think.
He really did, yeah.
Yeah, and
like grand and all.
Lands, you know, crashes through the glass of the office of this corporation, and you know, basically pulls a fast one on the CEO or whoever the big boss was there at the time. And yeah, tricks her into relinquishing control over everybody, and we all get back, returned back to normal. And that's essentially the quick recap. Now, I think there were a ton of really great and awesome things that took place. First and foremost, of course, Clara, who we absolutely love, is back. This is her third episode this season, apart from the Asylum of the Daleks and the Christmas episode. So this is her third one, and of course, this is the one she's the whole reason for the second half of the series this year, I guess you could say, this season, in that that's who the Doctor is trying to find. He's in a hunt for her. She's the impossible girl, I think, or she's not possible, is what's been said a few times. Anyways, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what we felt about this episode. First and foremost, just quick overall initial impression. Did you guys like it? Were you feeling it?
Steven, I think you had a lot of... Mm-hmm. You've been excited to talk about this. Why don't you lead us off this week?
Clear that throat.
thought it was a very, as I was talking to a good friend, Mike Dow, earlier on Twitter today, I thought it was a very solid midpoint to the series and a very solid starting off point here, jumping into this new half of the season, which, let's be honest, it might as well be a new season, just a new short season. But I don't think it really goes too far in debunking anything that we talked about last week and the week before that, in that it doesn't solve anything.
I'll admit I was wrong straight up. My overall theory was already wrong.
But what was we'll
theory about the episode?
We'll get to you in a second.
How they were going
to
handle it, yeah.
Okay. It's another, you know, strong opening from Stephen Moffat. Doesn't really go too far to solve any of the problems that we've already had. It might, the only thing I think it might do is it might start to tie things together into earlier stuff with the eventual reveal of the Great Intelligence being the big bad for this season or this series or whatever. Or at least he is somehow more involved with things than we originally thought he was going to be during the Snowmen, which I thought was a very interesting thing for them. They don't they are not so big on Doctor Who as to revealing the nature of the villain so early. They like to drop a lot of hints, but they don't like to like just show you straight up. Like they literally showed his face at the end of this episode. But yeah, overall, you know, ignoring all of these stuff in terms of like, hey, did it solve this question? Did it solve this question? Because we knew we weren't going to get any questions solved this week. But I thought it was just really fun. It was really it was crazy. It was the Doctor being the Doctor.
Yeah, it's great.
The anti-gravity bike scene was such a great moment for him, that he was paired up against a villain that I felt like was a super classic-y kind of Doctor Who villain. The way I always think about it is, at least for me, the Doctor is sort of all things to all people. So and I think that part of that gets reflected in the villains that he faces. His villains sort of become whatever kind of villain that you want them to be in your heart of hearts. So for me, what the Doctor hates more than anything is villains who are arrogant, which is sort of a strange thing considering how arrogant he is some of the time. But he's not arrogant with other people's lives, or at least not as self-aware about it as some of the villains are. And so when you get villains like, Solomon from Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and villains like this one here, where they think that they have the right to control other people's lives and treat other people like things, the Doctor hates that more than anything, because while the Doctor does get involved in people's lives, he usually likes to try and not treat them as objects, but as friends and equals most of the time, even though sometimes he loses sight of that, and that's when he's at his darkest. And he needs those people the most. And for me, I think that the villains here were great in that respect because they were so scary, because they had so much power and so little regard for humans as actual things. They had objectified the human race to such a great degree that I thought they were a super strong villain, especially since they were so human in that respect, and the with their usage of like such a regular ass thing in as a weapon, the Wi-Fi as a weapon kind of thing. And I thought it was super fun, and I think it's going to set up a pretty interesting second half of the season, but it still remains to be seen if the season does anything that we want it to do, you know. And this season, this episode, while it was super fun and super solid, didn't do anything to assuage that or to address that even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thoughts, my very basic thoughts.
What was the end? It didn't do anything to assuage what?
Are my fears that this season isn't going to answer any old questions.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I can think is maybe this is implying that the Great Intelligence was the voice in the TARDIS that, you know, caused the TARDIS to explode, the one the Silence Will Fall voice, you know, if he's maybe involved with that, because the Silent, or the Great Intelligence, as we should know, is a classic Doctor Who villain.
From the second Doctor.
Yeah, Patrick Troughton, absolutely. Originally Yogg-Sothoth and had a couple other names. If you know anything about H.P. Lovecraft, that'll make a lot more sense. But generally speaking, you don't see old-timey Doctor Who villains show up and not play major roles. You know, you bring in the Cybermen, and you bring in the Daleks, and you bring in the Master, and they're always huge threats. The only one that they kind of play around with a little bit, you know, they play around with the Santarans a little bit, you know, not as a super serious threat, especially with Strax recently, and they play around with the Nestine consciousness a little bit, not really super seriously, but this time they are clearly propping him up as a big bad, and so I think it's, if they're bringing back a 60s Doctor Who villain and they're propping him up to be a main contender for the rest of the season, I have to imagine that has some kind of greater significance to the rest of the previous fiction, and not just something for the rest of this season.
You know, what I found kind of interesting was that Clara didn't die this episode.
And that's where I come in.
Well, she did.
Great segue.
So
she did,
wrong.
But, yeah.
But we were all wrong. Did. Like, her body was dead twice.
It didn't launch the Doctor into searching for her in another, you know, another dimension.
No, it didn't.
But here's the thing, those other incarnations, right?
Yeah.
Those weren't other dimensions. That's the
same girl.
No, but I don't mean to correct you, but it's the same person, literally, as far as we can tell, physically, everything, name, whatever, in three different times.
Mm-hmm.
Like far future, you know, England and the word I'm forgetting, 1800s or whatever.
Victorian England.
Victorian, that's the word. And then now, and it's just... I don't know. I honestly thought that he was going to spend this season and she was going to die every episode and the Doctor to figure out what her significance was or her significance.
Right. You're saying that I was correct and you were wrong? That's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm saying that I was off base with my theory that she was going to die in every episode and that was going to be the big mystery.
Correct would you say I was if I said that was incorrect?
That said, I do want to point out that if you are going to say that she was technically dead this episode, which I wasn't going to say, but Steven, if you're going to say that, then that means so far I'm right. Now, I wasn't going to say it, but...
I agree with... I mentioned that for a reason. I think that this counts as a death for her. I think it counts as two deaths, technically speaking. Her body was dead.
So then do you... Well, yeah, but the upload wasn't complete the first time, so...
Okay, but see, the second time it certainly was, and they said...
It certainly was, and she was dead, and all the brain... Yes, you're right, but... Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then you actually raise a good point. I'm not going to say you're right, but you raise a good point.
Sorry, Sean. Can I mention one, like, quick reference, quick here, before you go on?
It's not going to be quick if you ask.
If you're asking.
I was waiting. Yes,
go ahead.
Ask. I just wanted to say that the upload thing got mentioned in season 3 of Doctor Who, the season finale of Doctor Who. They did mention, or the Doctor mentioned when he saw the future people, that human race spent like 1,000 years as uploads. And so I wonder if that will maybe tie into the stuff, especially with...
You mean David Tennant?
Yeah, David Tennant mentioned that the human race spent like 1,000 years as computer uploads.
That is true. So what else did you, like, Sean, what else did you think about the episode?
You know, I liked it a lot, actually, a lot more than I thought.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that. You actually tweeted at me that you were really excited about it when it was completed.
So this is the conundrum I face as a Who fan right now, right? Is I still kind of have that disappointment left behind from all the Amy stuff. And the River Song stuff, and the Silence stuff, and the Pandorica stuff, and the stuff. So it's tough. It's tough because I see these kind of these new adventures, right? Like the Snowman Christmas special was awesome. Like it was really well done.
It was great. Yeah.
Easily the best of the holiday specials since the show's been back. And
the Doctor, the wardrobe, that I liked that one a lot. That one made me cry.
And, in my personal opinion, the best of them so far since the show's been back, in my personal opinion. And, and you know, your mileage may vary. You might like, you know, the Christmas Invasion with Tennant. You might like something about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I don't know. But, so part of me, you know, I really liked this episode. I thought it was a great reintroduction, or I guess return of Series 7, technically.
Let's just call it the new season.
Yeah.
7.5 or whatever.
Yeah, 7.2, right?
7.2, sure. Yeah.
It's a unique twist again of the companion introduction and whatever, and there was just a lot of tropes that were really well done. The enemies were spooky enough, you know. The premise of the Wi-Fi being invaded was great. The controlling other people with machines thing was great. Although I gotta wonder if anybody else noticed that news anchor live on television.
Yeah, exactly. There were a few inconsistencies there,
and the ending was great too, and really sad, right? Like, like when she melts down and has that mental reset, like that was awful.
She's crying for her mom,
and they really haven't been pulling punches too much lately, you know. They've they've gone for the jugular on, or I guess the heart, really, with some of that stuff. In 7-1, the Doctor kind of left a whole bunch of people to die in exploding spaceships, that kind of stuff. But, all in all, like, from start to finish, I thought it was pretty strong.
Yeah.
The performances were great. The plot was quick and very Who-like. You know, there weren't a lot of things to nitpick, at least not that I've thought of yet. Granted, I could still be coming out of a GDC hangover, so it's possible I missed a lot. But, you know, I sat there, and I that was my Saturday, right? Like, I knew who was coming on the first part of a 3-part trifecta of awesome geek television this weekend.
Oh, God, yes.
And I really liked it. I honestly don't have much to pick apart.
I'm in the same boat as you, Sean, and just from the I'm in the same TARDIS as you, from the standpoint that it didn't blow me away, but I did enjoy it quite a bit for the way it was set up. So there were a few things that I thought were actually great for the show from a show standpoint, and then a bunch of other callbacks to the previous half of the season and other seasons and stuff. So I'm just going to run down my list and kind of talk about why I like this episode as a series of situations and instances rather than an entire big plot. So the very first thing I noticed, I'm just going to go down through my awesome list here. Very first thing I noticed was the new camera style they were kind of using for some of the shots, which is less of a stopped anchored camera or panning camera, and more of a kind of live motion camera. And you see that right at the very beginning where Clara's talking to some of the other family members. I think there was the other girl that she was chatting with, and the camera seemed to have a little bit of a camera shake, and I think that's kind of exhibited a lot through other scenes where there's kind of close-up of people talking to each other. So I think there's little bit more of an emphasis on some of the cinematography that they're going to be trying for this season. I really enjoyed that. Obviously, you can't go wrong with Summer Falls. And so, for those who don't know, that's the book that was written by Amelia Williams, also known as Amy Pond.
I know her.
You know her. The young boy, or the boy that was reading the book, he had just come down from his bedroom, and Claire says, "What book is that?" He says, "Oh, Summer Falls." And this line I thought was fantastic. She says, "What chapter are you on?" He says, "I'm on chapter 10. He says, "You'll cry." She goes, "That's a good one, but chapter 11 is the best one. You'll cry on chapter 11, 11 doctors." So I thought that was very cool how they I think there's something emotional going to be happening. Either that, or it's definitely a callback to Amy and Rory disappearing. So, but definitely that whole thing there.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so the other thing I thought was actually kind of really fun, when the doctor does get that call back in the 1700s or 1800s, wherever it was, the cord on the phone is huge. It's like a 20-foot cord. He just keeps kind of walking and unraveling that cord. And the poor monk that's next to him is in shock that this cord is that, you know, that long coming out of that machine. So that's what, that was actually really good. But then when the doctor does talk to Clara, he says, "Where did you get this number?" And she says, "Well, it's the helpline." He says, "Well, who gave you the number?" She says, "The woman in the shop." And he says, "What woman in the shop?" And that's all that she got. So
yeah,
here it is. This is my theory. The woman in the shop, River yep. Song. River
what?
Song.
No.
I'm thinking it's River Song.
No, it's Sally Sparrow.
You think it's Sally Sparrow?
Yeah.
It's running Sally Sparrow? Really?
Wow, running what a callback.
Running a shop?
I think it's of River. Course. I think it's River. Anyways.
Oh, crazy.
It's a
River
good,
or Amy, gentlemen.
I don't think it can be Amy.
The girl, the woman.
Well, Amy's dead, right?
Amy's dead at this time, yeah.
It's River.
It's no, River.
It was Sally Sparrow. You're wrong.
They're not bringing Sally Sparrow. How
I
is
didn't
Sally
say
Sparrow
that
going
to bring Sally Sparrow River- back? I think it was just a callback.
River is the only one that knows how to call the doctor through mm-hmm. the time vortex.
Yep.
Sally Sparrow does not have the helpline to TARDIS 1-800-CALL-THE-DOCTOR.
1-800-CALL-DOC.
You think, okay, you don't think at any point they maybe didn't, in the time that they had the TARDIS right in front of them, they didn't, like, have the, foresight to maybe see a telephone number on it.
I don't think the
like
telephone
that.
Number is on the box. Yes. I think it's the same number that River calls.
Or in the the massive research that they did throughout that, like a woman in a shop in England, like that ends with her in the shop in England.
You know, when
like,
he
no,
answers
it's
the
a
phone,
Moffat character.
He answers. So is River. He answers the song. Damn it! No, he answers the phone.
He answers the phone.
He answers the phone, and he says, "Well, even before he answers the phone, he goes down. He says to the monk, he's like, that's not supposed to happen. That's never happened before. That's happened in one other episode ever. Mm-hmm. So there's no way Sally Sparrow knows
that. It's happened in more than one episode. Mm-hmm. It happened the fucking Impossible Child, or not the Impossible Child. That's the first episode of the show ever. The gas mask kid, the Are You My Mummy kid, he was able to call the TARDIS phone.
Are you talking about the phone on the outside or the phone on the inside?
It was on the phone on the outside. What difference does it make? It's the
TARDIS. The only time it's ever happened before was in that one episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, you're crazy. It was a Sally Sparrow reference.
Well, regardless, it's a River Song. Because
he's going to find out that this crazy big mystery mm-hmm. around Clara is something to do with him, because it's always something to do with him. Yep. And future him has caused something, and that's why she's this universal anomaly.
Yep.
I
totally agree with you, Sean.
Plus, River's coming back. So.
And we know, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. We know she's coming back, so we know that this is...
That doesn't necessarily mean that she has to be involved with every single moment of every single thing.
No, but she wants... This is the first time out of the three times that the doctors met Clara, that she's hasn't disappeared at the end. In fact, at the end of the episode, she says, the doctor asks her, "Do you want to go on this great voyage anywhere you want?" And she says, "Well, come back in the morning and maybe I'll give you a different answer then."
So I like that.
Which is... That was a great point, because now all of a sudden she was. I think she's been the first one that's openly denied him on their first trip. But I think that wheel, that connection could only have been set in motion with River Song. Like, River knows the doctor needs... God, wouldn't it be awesome if Clara is Jenny, his daughter?
No. Now you're just being stupid.
Anyways, so back to some of the other things I liked. When the doctor does manage to talk to Clara...
Thank God we can get back to the list that yes. he prepared. It's so natural.
It is. It's so great. But I felt one thing that I really liked was... We ended last season on the question, right? What's the question? Doctor Who. So Clara asks him, who are you? He's like, I'm the doctor. She says, Doctor Who. And he starts talking. He says, wait a minute. What did you just say? She says, Doctor Who. And he says, can you just ask me that one more time? I really like the sound of that. I thought that was great.
No, that was good. He's actually done that with her every time they've met.
Exactly. And so there's... Definitely that
he completely. Sorry.
No, you know, I think that was a great. No,
by all means, Sean, interrupt him from his fucking list.
No, but he undermines all that shit. Like, yes. Excuse my language. I know Steven usually handles the cursing, but he completely undermines himself. He completely undermines himself when he signs the note, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's like, she's under my protection, the doctor.
Now, do you
and she even mentions that. She even mentioned that to him. She says, "You're under my protection, or you're protecting me." Or like, he says, "I'm gonna."
When he sends that message, do you think he's actually saying she's under my protection, or do you think it was more of a general? Because he just said under my protection. I kind of assumed he was saying like Earth? This planet is under my protection, like because he said that a million times before. Like this planet is protected.
No, I interpreted as her. He's so obsessed with figuring out what's going on with her.
Yeah.
That I mean, of course, he's not putting humanity on a back burner. Well, okay, so he's probably putting humanity on a back burner in this case. But I think once he gets a feel for what's going on in general, then he steps in and says, this ends tonight, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But in that particular note, because he sent the note through the Spoonhead, right? Spoonhead?
Yeah.
The one that particular, like, that was the one that downloaded her. Mm-hmm. So he sent the note in, and he's like, nope, this one's under my protection.
I also really enjoyed how he kind of pulled the fast one on, what was his name, Kitzel or whatever, Miss Kislet, at the very end when he sent the spoon-headed doctor in his place. She's talking to him and he says, oh, actually, I'm sitting in a cafe having a tea and you're actually talking to one of your Wi-Fi receivers. And of course, the thing turns around and sucks her into the...
That was awesome.
Yes. And it's very classic... Who clone, and we seem to get like a cloned Who every season or every other season, right? Because we had the David Tennant clone, who's still alive in an alternate dimension somewhere.
Hmm.
We had the
Tesseract.
Exactly, the Tesseract. We also had the, was it like the...
Or the Tesselector or
the
whatever.
The Tesselector. We had the, what was that?
The Flesh.
The Flesh, there you go, the Living Flesh, whatever that was. We had that clone, so there's... And we have That's Jenny. We have Jenny. So there's been a lot of cloning of the doctor for whenever he deems it. And he always, whenever they clone the doctor, he always uses it to his advantage. He always tries to, you know, ends up playing a fast one. And then at the very end, I also loved the that UNIT was included and how they're definitely bringing a great intelligence UNIT. They're bringing back these classic Doctor Who characters and these classic Doctor Who themes, which I really do think the rest of this season is devoted to setting up the 50th anniversary. And so these callbacks to classic villains, classic, and we're going to be seeing, I mean, the snowmen, we're seeing the, who are the ice, there's a bunch of like classic evil bad guys that are be showing up the rest of the season. So, I'm pretty stoked for that concept. But yeah, UNIT in there was great. You know, they even ask, who's UNIT? We don't know.
UNIT has been showing up a lot more like the last couple seasons and everything. Yep. I almost wonder if they're going to start doing a little bit more with them.
Well, Torchwood is done, so they have to bring something back in. So UNIT, I think, is the is the group.
No, they've definitely done plenty. They did when the countdown, the whatever, the attracts. No, not attracts. Should talk. What the hell were they? The things that gave Time Lords nightmares. The cubes that were counting down in everybody's apartments. That was huge.
That was
a huge unit episode. And what's her face? The niece or granddaughter or whatever?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was great. She was great.
Isn't she in charge of unit now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and by
the science in charge of the military.
Yeah, exactly. And also, do not forget that this past weekend, Spearhead from Space was also featured on BBC America. All about the Third Doctor, which definitely relates right back to.
Oh
right
yeah, the Third
UNIT,
Doctor was very heavily involved with UNIT.
Yeah, he was basically trapped; his TARDIS was broken.
So it's interesting. So, a little more, throwback trivia. Mm-hmm. I was reading about as we were getting ready to record. In regards to the Great Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we saw in the Snowman episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was its second appearance. This obviously was its second appearance in a row, but
in this season, or in this new revised series, it is
correct. Right. I mean, we're seeing it back to back in these two episodes. But if you look at it from the intelligence's perspective,
mm-hmm.
more than a century has passed from the Snowmen till now, and during that century, from the intelligence's perspective, it encountered the Second Doctor twice.
Oh yeah,
once in 1935 in the Abominable Snowman. And then again, 40 years later in The Web of Fear.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, it would have had to have. Huh.
That's so technically speaking, it's now met the Doctor 11 and 2,
now,
four times.
Now, do you think that will tie into the 50th stuff? Because now that we have a villain that has that knows of the Doctor.
And they definitely reference it, though, too, doesn't it? I mean, sorry to cut you off, Stephen, but Kislet says that, our client... warned us of him, definitely knew that.
Oh, they knew he was coming, yeah.
But it's possible that could have just been a reference to, 1800 stuff. But, yeah, I think that's crazy. Do you guys think that, that will get referenced at all closing in on this 50th anniversary stuff? Because clearly the 50th anniversary stuff, even if the old actors don't show up, clearly the 50th stuff is going to talk about that stuff a little bit, especially with, as we've now found out, David Tennant's probably going to be involved.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll get that in a second, but yes, I definitely think that the Great Intelligence, this theme is going to continue on through to the 50th anniversary. I think so, now more than ever. But, anything else about this episode? So overall, we all kind of liked it. We thought it was cool. What were your favorite scenes? What were your favorite scenes in this episode?
Well, actually, perfect timing.
Ooh,
I wanted to mention.
Question, yeah.
I wanted to mention that the part where Kislet,
mm-hmm, Kislet,
yeah. When she got mind warped back,
oh, man,
version, that is a direct parallel to what happened to Dr. Simeon in more than one way in the last episode.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're totally right.
She had said that he had been whispering to her throughout, for so many years and stuff. So this new Great Intelligence, or this Great Intelligence with a new face or whatever, did the same thing to Kislet as he did to Dr. Simeon.
Wow, great call.
Brain got reverted back just like Doctor with the brain worm.
Great call. Excellent. Excellent point. For me, I think that scene was actually really powerful, and that was actually an unnerving scene because here she is talking, you almost kind of wonder if you're in her situation as a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old and now you're it's been years since you've been, your parents are probably dead by now, for all we know. And,
oh, I suppose, yeah.
And so, she'd have this massive
It was
shock.
Awful. It was awful.
It was brutal. But no, my favorite scene was the airplane. I thought that was really well executed. I thought that was classic Doctor Who fun. Like, that was fun Actually, Who. I thought that was
It was great. Fun, but it was absolutely not classic Who.
I'm sorry. It was...
There was, up until very recently, that guy had no control over where that TARDIS was going.
No, right? Yes. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's actually one thing I wanted to talk about, too, this episode, is, he has total control of the TARDIS now, doesn't he?
Well, it's a new TARDIS as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but...
Brand new interior, brand everything, yeah.
But they spent so much time basically throughout David Tennant's run and throughout Christopher Eccleston's run, he never was able to get the thing to go where he wanted to go. With my favorite example being that time he teleported the TARDIS into a spot and then had the door facing right into a wall and then had to teleport it again so it was facing the right direction. that one of my favorite moments, even though it was a terrible episode. But and then. Him talking to last season, talking to the TARDIS, Idris specifically saying she never took him where he wanted to go. Do you think that
she
maybe
took him where he needed to
mm-hmm,
go?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Do you think that it's that line specifically that makes me wonder? Do you think that maybe this is we are seeing a doctor now because he knows more where he wants to go and he's going to where he wants to go?
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe we're getting a doctor who is more confident, more better at being the doctor on a purely technical level? Is that maybe something? Maybe we're inching closer and closer towards like the super doctor that River Song talked about.
Maybe. Well,
Didn't we already got this? All right. Words, Sean. we got that doctor already, and that was why he ended season 6 going incognito.
Mm-hmm.
You think that was it?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I
that's all I got. No, well, I mean that was the whole point, right? Like she lectured him on, you know, you wanted to be a healer, and your name is now known as Great Warrior, and
mm-hmm.
you know, what would you think of you 500 years ago, and blah 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 blah. So yeah, I mean, unless it's a really weird bait and switch, but like, what would be the point? You know, I feel like, well, actually, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, maybe he's trying to do this, but he's kind of, well, no.
Holy crap, Sean!
Sean's in time warp.
Every time I think about something, I think about something else that undermines it. Like he wasn't found in any of the databases, right?
Right.
Like when they scanned him for all the known things in the universe, they couldn't figure him out, and the Daleks forgot all about him and all this other crap. So if he's, unless he's an incognito version of what she said he was going to be, I don't see the point of doing all this to erase his name. I just don't. I don't understand it.
I don't think that. Well, the thing is, I don't necessarily think that Super Doctor and Incognito Doctor are one and the same, or necessarily mutually exclusive. I think that he can be either both, or he can be one and then eventually become the other. Maybe I'm reading too much into, maybe the Super Doctor thing is just a thread that they never are going to resolve, and maybe they've just completely
I don't know. You could be right, and it could tie into the whole battle of the 11th, fall of the 11th or whatever, but I don't know. But anyway, yeah, he controls that thing better than he ever did in any of his previous incarnations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That, especially that plane scene, like I literally thought had that same thought as you. He is in total control of this thing.
I mean, he teleported to the perfect spot.
there was an episode with Amy and Rory, right?
Yeah,
where he promised to take them to a beach somewhere, and they wound up in the near future, and that's how they met the Silurians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if it's more of the writers are just using it to their advantage when they need to, or if it's an overall thing and he's just better at it but sometimes screws up. I don't know.
Or maybe when he screws up, it's not, you know, maybe he is in fact screwing up intentionally and just not telling anybody. You know, we've seen the Doctor be really fucking sneaky before and not really tell his companions everything that they maybe should know at any given time. He clearly hasn't told Clara this time around that, you know, hey, I've seen you die twice now. Or there was a long time there where he didn't tell Amy, hey, you might be like a weird clone of yourself.
Yeah, the Doctor lies. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else about this episode that you guys liked, didn't like, or noticed before we move on?
No, I think we covered it. It's a good start, right?
It's a great start. There's so many Easter eggs, so many fun things in it.
A great start. But we know Moffat can do a great start.
And we can use this to kind of parlay into a brief conversation about the 50th before we wrapped up. But, I guess that kind of covers it. It's a solid start to the not new Who.
I totally agree. Here's a couple things, last couple things before we move on. Just little things that I found throughout the episode, Easter eggs.
Another list.
Not a list. Very short list. It's a post-it note. It's the Doctor's still learning about this new TARDIS. There's one scene where he runs. He's looking for the motorcycle, and he runs through to wherever the back rooms are, and he kind of runs, you know, hops down, turns left, keeps going, and then stops at the, you know, you don't see him, but he comes back the other way and kind of points to the other direction. He's like, oh yeah, this is the way. this new TARDIS setup. So again, he's still kind of learning this new TARDIS, and so I wonder how that's going to play into the rest of the season.
Well, there's an episode coming. Yeah, where we're going to be exploring with him.
Interesting.
Is he literally going into the TARDIS?
Yes.
Oh my god. Finally.
Yes.
I've been wanting such an episode for a while, and then I thought I got it in the Doctor's wife, but then they just ended up walking down identical looking hallways throughout the entire episode, which is like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Here's
That was a lot more hints at the lore than it actually was showing the lore.
I love the bow tie in a box when he had this is this a new jacket, by the way, for the Doctor?
This purple jacket. He had the other ones in his hand, and he was just like, "Nah." And then he grabbed a different one.
Yeah, this is very
that bow tie. You think that was a hint at an older Doctor's bow tie? Because it was in a ceremonial looking box.
Well,
and everything.
Remember now, the Doctor's 1,000 years old now, so he's definitely been aging over the last few seasons. So
I don't know if I thought it was that so much as I kind of was under the impression that it was just Moffat realized thinking like, okay, we know fans. Really seized on to this bow tie thing, so
could be it. Yeah,
we're gonna throw this in there for them because this has become such a part of him, and it's him saying like, "We will write this Doctor, or we are willing to write this world and this Doctor based on what you like about it too," and which I think is pretty nice.
And then finally on the about the book, her diary, when he opens the first page, he sees all her ages in there from, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
There's one number that's missing. And that age
23.
20, you got it. Age 23 is missing. It goes all the way down 22 and then 24. So I wonder if that's anything. And then
it's got to be significant.
It's gotta,
see, and then, this is, otherwise. This and is kind of – well, go ahead. Finish up.
No, and then finally is his question. He says, so what's the what was that leaf that I found in page one? She said, that wasn't a leaf. That was page one. I thought that was – kind of a cool.
That was a nice tweak. Nice little wordplay there.
But here's
the problem, and I think this parlays into our what we're going to do weekly now, which is what's up with the 50th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like this.
What's up with the 50th?
Okay, I like it less now. Just let Sean talk about it.
And I guess maybe in the future we'll just do news first, like a recap, but. Yeah. There's a hint at the Great Intelligence, which is still floating around. There are hints at what's going on with Clara. There are hints at the 23 thing, you know, and I don't know. I think this is where my conflict comes in, right? Is I've been so pumped at the beginning of every season for all these mysteries playing out. The Pandorica, the cracks in the universe, the Doctor's death, River Song, even Amy and Rory's death, right? And
quote-unquote death.
Yeah. And I just can't. I can't do it. I can't. Like, I'll speculate with you guys for till the cows come home, but I just can't get excited about why the number's missing or what her thing may be or God knows what else, right?
Because is it just because it tends to be a lot of dead ends or a lot of
loose
threads?
It's so dead-end-like, and it's such a disappointment every time.
It's a red herring each time.
And the worst part is I can't tell if it's because we're super fans that build this up.
Yeah.
Or if the writing just isn't there. Like, I just don't know.
It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, didn't Moffat... Moffat just came out in the most recent... I think it's Entertainment Weekly. I'm grabbing at my backpack right now. Where he says that he is... knackered by Doctor Who? He's basically getting to a point where it's...
Someone told me about this on Twitter. Yeah. They were really excited because he's closer to the end of his tenure than he is at the beginning.
Exactly.
And
they were
ecstatic about it.
Really?
You know? And I gotta say, I'm starting to feel like the dude, you know, the guy has done his work. He's left his mark. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say I'd never want him to write again. Mm-hmm. Just like I would love Russell T. Davies to come in and write a guest spot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of funny that you should say that because that Mike Dow, as I mentioned earlier, I was talking to him on Twitter, and his specific words were, I mentioned Stephen Moffat and his ability, exactly what we've been saying about him raising questions and not giving satisfactory answers. And his exact tweet is, and this is just from some random person, it's not anybody involved with the Lonely TARDIS or anything, and his exact tweet is, I'm done with Moffat, dinosaur of a bygone age. And maybe that is just becoming the public sentiment at this point.
I don't know if he's a dinosaur of a bygone age so much as he's just somebody who is probably not playing to his strengths.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
He has done some remarkable stuff for WHO. He really has. Mm-hmm. But I think his inability to pay off long, you know, to play the long game, I think is a weakness. I think, you know, his ability to diversify his characters out of his normal kind of, you know, tropes mm-hmm. is a weakness.
Do you think that's part of the reason for that is because the 50th anniversary is looming overhead and
everything I hear about the 50th, short of what we heard about today, which we can talk to in a mm-hmm. second, just reeks of current Moffitt, and reeks of missed opportunity mm-hmm. and his perspective, which I just think is short-sighted, mm-hmm. and I think it's too much Moff Who and not enough Doctor Who.
You want to know what my thoughts are on this whole thing? On Moffitt's,
no, but you can tell us anyway.
Oh, okay, well, then, if you don't want to hear him, no. I think that more than we are done with Moffitt on Doctor Who, I think Moffitt is just kind of feeling done with Doctor Who.
Yeah,
I think he's spending his creative juices elsewhere. Yep. I think he's putting that into Sherlock now. I think that has become so much more his baby than Doctor Who ever was, and he is just spending all of his real creative juices on that, especially with season 3 of that coming up soon and that taking off and becoming such a hugely popular thing and him becoming very successful and him getting very defensive about it all the time, you know, involved with all that stuff with Elementary and everything. I think that's exactly what's happening.
You could be onto it. I mean, he's definitely seems like he's getting worn out with Who. But, you know, I'm not in his shoes, obviously,
a comic book series, yeah. Right? It's like you can only tell someone else's story because it's always going to be someone else's story because it lasts for 50 years and everything, and there are certain rules that can't be broken. What, Sean? What?
Deal with what? It. Sean just pulled the deal with it on us.
Sean being like, I couldn't be here last week because I was at the GDC, and now I feel all entitled to a full episode. Well, tough, Sean Norton, tough.
At least there was some good news about the 50th anniversary. There is something.
Do you remember do you remember how happy we were when we found out Moffitt was taking over the show?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what?
I swore to God I would never become one of these people. These people that hate is a strong word, but these critics and the people who pigeonhole these creative talents and who bitch and moan about the way things are going or how people are doing anything, but God help me, I can't help it. I know what the show could be. I know what the show often is, and I know what it misses, and it swings for the fences all the time, but it's hitting a lot of, you know, singles and doubles and not enough home runs.
Sports.
It's calling for that gold star, and it just keeps getting, you know, reference Steven understands. But anyway.
Yeah. I have one question that's kind of related, if Sean doesn't mind me speaking. With, oh, God, Sean has given the Norton face like nobody's business right now. No, that's not even the Norton face. That's there we go. That's more like it. Sorry to all of our listeners who can't see the video. It's so lovely. My question to you guys is, this is kind of inside baseball, sports. Sean checking his watch. Do you guys think we should almost bring somebody, some new blood onto an episode one time as a guest?
Yes. Yeah.
To see what they think. Like, Sean, you got me thinking, are we just jaded, crazy super fans that pick this apart week after week that just don't know what we're talking about because we're too close to the issue?
Well, we can, yeah, we can explore that. Maybe offline when we're not talking about things that, you know.
This is the side questing way.
People are coming to listen to us talk about. But no, I mean, I know people I know people done with the first Eccleston years. I know people that are blowing through the tennis stuff right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it would be good to get fresh perspectives. And of course, we can get old guests to return to. But I also think that specifically we should talk about that offline.
Yes, totes agrees.
Talk about the 50th anniversary news to bring us home, Dolly.
Yeah, for sure. As soon as the typing stops, I'll go ahead and dive in. Oh,
not me.
No, it was Sean. So what?
This is what you get when you mess it up. It's old Sean Norton.
So we found over the weekend, news broke. Okay, let's phrase it this way: we'd been hearing bad news. I don't say bad news, but disappointing news throughout this season about the 50th anniversary and how it went from being like from a 2-hour special to a hour and a half special to 60 minutes. That it went from having all the doctors to only having a few of the doctors, and now we're
fine. Well, admittedly, none of this was ever confirmed.
Right, nothing was confirmed. Know. But then we did get confirmation John Barrowman's not going to be involved. River Song potentially may not be involved. So we've been getting some just kind of lackluster news.
That's a good word.
And then finally, this past weekend, we get some, I think, actually kind of exciting news that David Tennant and Billy Piper, the 10th Doctor and Rose, have been confirmed and have signed on. Not only have they signed on to be on this 50th anniversary, but they're already in some initial read-throughs for the special. So they're already going over
David
the script.
Well, at least David T is, yeah.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, we have photographic evidence that Tennant and Smith were together. We don't
and
know
they look and they look happy together. So there must be something interesting going on. So
or maybe they just like, you know, they're just cool people who like hanging out.
That could be it too. I find that fantastically exciting. I almost wonder why Christopher Eccleston wasn't involved, but regardless, David Tennant.
I'm praying that it's a secret, and everybody knows that he's not. You know, he left the show in his own terms or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that we're going to get Doctor cameos that aren't going to be announced beforehand.
So do I. I hope
especially,
so too.
I feel so cheated with Eccleston's one season. I really
yeah, yeah, yeah. We never really got to kind of fall in love with this character.
I'd like to see Paul McGann too, because he's Time War Doctor. I would love to see.
Yeah,
War
God,
War.
That would have been. And maybe there's something that has a part of who knows, but
I think that would be great. I think he's you know. Mm-hmm. When they made the decision to go with a 9th Doctor instead of an 8th, right? And they made the decision to, for whatever reason, kind of call that show or the movie canon, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, at least, I guess, right?
Yeah, it is canon.
Paul McGann is 8th Doctor, yeah.
Oh, God.
They show his face in that montage.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that once they did that, they kind of validated him, and he's earned a spot. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, whatever
and
was wrong
long,
with the movie.
Long overdue.
Yeah.
Long overdue for this guy to be involved in something.
So, anyways.
He's still working as an actor. So he's
yeah, he has been.
Everything. Yeah. He's still kicking around and stuff. He's not like, he hasn't disappeared off the face of the map since then, so it would make sense.
So, back to this news. I'm actually super excited and happy that David Tennant is a part of it.
Not me too.
I'm hopeful that it's more than just a quick cameo. I would love to see a full-length episode pairing both the Doctors.
Why would they bring him in for a table read if he was just going to do a cameo, right? Unless they're doing it as a PR stunt.
That could be. I don't know.
In my heart of hearts, I'm hoping that it's a pretty legit, like, they're splitting time for most of the movie.
Here's my question for you guys though, with Billy 42. Piper also being with Billy Piper also being involved, do you think that this is actually going to turn out to be alternate universe David Tennant Doctor, and
that was one of the theories. Another theory that I read, I think it was on Reddit or something, was that this takes place during one of their seasons, one of the Bad Wolf seasons or something, that Bad Wolf was before
That was Eccleston.
Although parts of it were intended.
Between season 1 and 2 or 2 and 3?
Something like that. And then it somehow manages to tie some loose ends from the Tennant era together. But I don't know.
Are there loose ends going all the way back to Rose? Because you got Martha and Donna too.
Yeah, I think there were loose ends. And I don't think Donna and Martha are anywhere remotely confirmed or anything for this.
No. I know, but I'm just saying, were there loose ends that those follow-up seasons?
I think
never...
so. Yeah, I think there were. I really? Have to dig into the note, but I'm pretty sure there were.
Not as many as there are in the Smith era.
Exactly.
I hope exactly. I honestly, I hope they go that route. I hope they go with, you know, the Doctor's TARDIS merging or crashing into the other Doctor's TARDIS. And I hope it's not like the weird kind of cop out where they have the Doctor with one heart from the other dimension. Not to say that it wouldn't be cool, but I think they could do a lot more with time crash style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I'm just a heartless cynic.
You're just a heartless cynic. Well, instead of being a heartless cynic, let's grade this latest episode out of five spoons. What would you guys give out of five That's spoons? Awesome.
It's been so long since we've done this. Do we have half spoons or no half spoons?
No half spoons, no.
No half spoons.
Yeah, half man up, you game journalist.
Yeah.
Hey. If I had my way, we wouldn't have spoons at all. We would have written reviews, 500 words on my desk.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say four spoons.
It's a verbal podcast. What is that? Yes, no, I agree. Four spoons.
Hey, you brought up the journalism. Yeah, four spoons, whatever.
Excellent. So it looks like four spoons all around. A good episode, a very good episode, a fun episode that
I agree. I don't know.
Hopefully sets up the events of the rest of the season and the 50th anniversary. I guess we'll find out more information on what else is happening in Clara's life next week on the episode titled The Rings of Akaten.
Do we know which of the bad guys is going to be in this one? Like the ones that we've seen in the trailers and things?
No.
It'll probably get announced on Facebook 2 days from now.
Exactly. When the podcast goes up, we'll have known. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you guys. We're back. Doctor Who is back. I'm excited. We got a ton of episodes coming. We've got the 50th anniversary coming. We're going to talk about the graphic novels and maybe books and radio plays. And we're going to keep this bad boy going the way to the 50th if we can.
I would be so goddamn down if we started talking about the radio plays. I love radio dramas. Not even being ironic, I really do enjoy radio dramas.
We'll have to dig some of those up. But that's it for this week's episode. We actually were able to get it under an hour, guys. How awesome was that? This is a successful episode. I think it worked out really well.
It's taken like 10 years, but we finally started getting good at this.
Exactly. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS on the Twitters. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It's so important. For you to do so, and the iTunes link will be in all the feeds, all the sites that we have this loaded up on. You can send us tweets for now till we get the email up and running. I think we do have an email address, but I want to make sure that all the stuff has worked through it. You can find Steven on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me at Steven Strom, StevenStrom.
You can find Sean.
At Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON.
You can find there you go, and you can find me at Barack Obama, BarackObama, or you can find me at Cooler Rats. That was a joke, the previous one. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, in case you guys didn't know, April Fools. We'll see you guys on the next episode of The Lonely TARDIS. After we speak about the Rings of Akaten. Later. Bye. Peace.
Bye.
That's something we didn't talk about on this episode. We didn't talk about the intro being all retro styled.
That's true.
The intro graphic. I really like that.
I'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Oh, I thought we were done recording.
Wait, we're not done recording?
Yeah. What the hell?